Welcome back to Redefined Fitness, guys. I am your host, Kelsey Wells, and today we have a person who I consider a friend. She is the epitome of a woman in her power, and I cannot wait to dive into this conversation with her. So without further ado, please welcome to the show my friend Ashley Kidd. Now, if you are not familiar with that name or you don't know who Ashley is, she is a seven world champion wake surfer. Most recently, she won first place in the 2023 World Wake Surfing Championship. So just last year, obviously this year's has not happened yet. And she is also a 10 times USA national champion. Basically, she is the most decorated and popular athlete in her sport, in the sport of wake surfing. So her achievements within the competitive wake surfing realm remain unmatched. I have been a super fan ever since I heard of you, and she's here to chat with us today. So welcome, Ashley.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be a part of this.
I mean,
looking forward to it.
That's quite the intro. Like, how does it feel to be truly a goat in a sport? Like,
I mean, I really appreciate that intro. That
was nice. It's facts. Was any part of that not? It was, you know, so claim that. I'm just so stoked to have you here. So basically, I want to kind of tell our little story of how we met through the internet. Basically, yes. I posted a video of myself attempting, doing my best effort to wake surf. And I, obviously everyone listening knows, I had a pretty big injury surgery with my ankle and recovery journey. So we bought our boat. I was trying to learn how to wake surf, and then I broke my ankle. I had to take like 2 summers off, couldn't even try. And then last summer it was like my time, and I was like, I'm going to learn this year. And the first time that I tried to wake surf, I filmed a little clip of it and put it on Instagram, and I asked for tips. I was shooketh when the Ashley Kidd dropped a comment on the post that was like, I will teach you. I remember telling Ryan, I'm like, oh my God, look at this. And so then I think we just started DMing, then we started texting.
We did. Yeah. And then even when I was at Worlds, I literally talked to you that day.
Dude, I was honored because Worlds this year were close to where I live. So relatively close. Where were they again? What? It was in Utah, but which lake?
Like near Ogden, Utah.
Yes. So it's a few hours from me. So we wanted to get together, and we will in person.
We tried, but the weather was...
Yes, the weather was wild, which I want to get into that too, because you had to compete in that weather you still slayed, of course, coming away with, you know, the gold, the first place. But I'm just like so grateful to be in touch with you. And I think, I mean, from our just knowing you a little bit outside of, you know, Instagram, you're such a rad, humble, down-to-earth human. And I just find that really fascinating and respectful because of how accomplished you are. Like, you could easily have quite the ego about you, which ego isn't all bad, right? But it's just, I find you so refreshing and kind and genuine. And I really appreciate that. So that's kind of how Ashley came to be here on the pod. It wasn't just like a cold reach out. I was so excited to be able to ask her personally and have her on. So now I kind of want to start the episode by getting into the beginning of like how you got into this. So I'd love to hear about how you were raised in the sense of like, my podcast is all about, you know, women in their power. And I believe that women in their power really innately empower other women. And I find that to be so true with you. So I'd love to hear, did you grow up wake surfing? How old were you when you first tried the sport? Did you know that you love it? Was it like love at first try? Kind of give us through your path with into your career and to where you are today, but also with yourself and your body image and eating. Like, did you always have a healthy relationship with self? So anything you feel comfortable to share?
Yeah. I will share it all. It's actually so crazy. It's a crazy story because I used to be terrified of the water growing up. Mm. I would not go in a lake, would not go in the ocean.
Wow.
Like, looking back, I would never have been like, I will be a pro wake surfer one day.
Yeah.
That was far-fetched. That was not a thought.
I love this.
Yeah. So the reason I was terrified of the water started from when I was 5 years old. My aunt showed me a hermit crab. Not sure why, but this terrified me because I thought it was just like a little shell, and then it like came out.
Which is what it is.
So as I was younger growing up, wouldn't go in lakes, wouldn't go in the ocean. As I got older, I was 12 years old. My stepdad decided to go buy a boat out of nowhere, just randomly decided he wanted to get a boat. So we would go out on the boat like pretty much every weekend.
And sorry, how old were you at this point?
I was 12.
Okay. Okay.
Still not going in the water.
Okay.
But going on the boat.
Yeah.
So I grew up down in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Okay.
We would drive about 3 hours to go to the lake, this lake outside of San Antonio, Texas. We would go there on the weekends, just hang out on the boat. I was not wanting, you know, everybody would wakeboard. Wake surfing wasn't super big then, so it was mostly boarding. I didn't want to try it, obviously. Terrified of the water. But until one day my mom told me the lake was man-made. She's like, it's like a, you know, it's like a big pool. There's no, like,
nothing in there can get you. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I mean, the water's blue, clear, whatever. Okay, I'll try it. So I tried wakeboarding. I did really like it. Saw people, you know, fishing eventually on the lake. Yeah. So I was like, okay, she lied. Mom. But like with that, I had to get over, because I liked wakeboarding, I had to get over that fear that I had, this like weird, deathly, like crazy fear of fish. Like,
just, I mean, it's not weird. Everyone has their things, right?
Yeah, yeah. But, everyone has their fears. So it did take time to get over it. But I did. And fast forward a couple years later, you know, I'm 15 years old. My brother, he grew up surfing in the ocean down in Corpus.
Okay.
He came out on the boat and was wake surfing. And it was so new back then.
Yeah.
You didn't see the videos of it all over the place. It was just, it was such a rare thing to see.
Yeah.
The boats weren't made for wake surfing.
No. Yeah, no. Did you guys have to like fill it up and with the fast sacks and weight it down? And yeah.
We had all the fat sacks on the side.
Everyone's seated in the right places. And
yes, the boat's about to like fall over pretty much. Like, it was just so sideways.
We're either going to sink or get a great wake, but we're going for it one way or the other.
Yeah, people are always like driving up. They're like, are you all right? Like, is the boat about to sink? They're like, did you put the plug in the boat? So yeah, that's like where it was at that point in time. So he was like really wanting me to try to wake surf. I was very hard headed though. I was like, no, I like wakeboarding.
Yeah.
Not doing that. I don't want to try it. He kind of forced me to try it. Honestly, he was like, no, you're trying this, threw me in the water. Like,
love it.
Yeah. So I was just like, all right, whatever. So I tried it. As soon as I got up though, I was like, this is it.
Did you get up your very first time?
I did not. Oh no.
Okay. So I think this is important. I think this is important to note, because you know, you get all hyped up to try it and then you can't get up for a few tries and it's very defeating immediately. You're like, I don't know. But
I teach a lot of lessons and I always tell people, I'm like, it took me an entire day to get up. Like,
this is the kind of encouragement people need to hear.
Yeah, it was not immediate for me. It was a struggle.
I love that. Okay, so you kind of, at 12, you kind of got over your fear. You started wakeboarding a little bit. And then at 15, your older brother introduced you to wake surfing. And it took you, like, you struggled to get up at first, even though you could wakeboard. Because people need to realize these are not the same. In fact, let's pause really quickly. I'd love for you to just tell, I want to do this in the very beginning, but like, what is wake surfing? Like, kind of describe the sport if someone's unfamiliar.
Okay. I always kind of explain it as, imagine a boat creating like a mini ocean wave. You're going at a slow speed. You get up with the rope, throw the rope into the boat, and then you are surfing on an endless wave. Like, That is wake surfing. That is the beauty of it. It is an endless wave that you can constantly just try tricks on or cruise. And then you have all your friends and everybody in the boat. So it's like you can interact, which is a cool thing about wake surfing.
And I think that's a really different thing than any other water sport you do behind a boat. Like, if you're skiing or wakes boarding, you're way behind the boat. You're going really fast. You can't really hear anyone on the boat. You're in your own world.
Yeah.
And wake surfing, it's like Yeah, you're there. You're like closer to the back of the boat and you're just right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I think is such a cool aspect of wake surfing.
That was the best description. I love it. Okay, so let's get back to your story. So we're 15. You took pretty much a whole day to get up, even though you could wakeboard. And right when the first time you got up on the wake surf, you were like, wait.
I was like, I absolutely love this. I love the feeling of it. I loved like all the aspects of that sport. Mm-hmm. And I was like immediately obsessed, immediately hooked. Like that, after that day, I was so obsessed with wake surfing. And all I wanted to do was like the next step. Okay, let's learn how to let go of the rope. Okay.
Yeah.
It was just like continuously like wanted to progress. And it was like literally all I thought about.
I love it. So that was going to be my other question. You didn't just, because I kind of imagined you were this magical unicorn that just popped up her first pull and tossed the rope in and we're like off to the races, just gifted from the gods. But you also had to learn.
To give you some like a little bit about me, I was the kid that tried every single sport growing up for like 1 week. And right. I was terrible at everything. Terrible. I
love this.
I wouldn't last like I was lucky to last like 1 month in a sport.
Wow. Okay. This is so cool. You know, it's because everyone has their thing. And if you haven't found it yet, you haven't found it yet. That's great.
Growing up, I was just like, yeah, I'm just not an athletic person. I mean, I had tried out for athletics in like middle school mm-hmm. and I didn't make it in there. Like,
yeah. I relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just not the most athletic. So it took, and even when I learned how to wake surf, you know, I was not immediately good at it. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of practice, a lot of wake surfing, getting behind the boat to progress and get to where I am now. It was definitely not an immediate thing.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So at 15, you get up, and then how long did it take until you could, like day wise, right? Like how many days on the lake, how many days behind the boat trying did it take for you to be able to toss in the rope and really just surf?
It was so long ago. But I
hard
think then it was within that week of just mm-hmm. going out. But I remember I would ride for like hours
so at a cool. time
and just be so like, cool. I remember my leg just burning so bad when I was trying yeah. to learn how to let go of the rope.
Yeah.
But I think it took like a couple of days to get there, which is, you know, some people.
Which when you're talking about hours behind a boat. Yeah. That's not like a few attempts. That's like a lot of work.
No. And like sometimes I teach people now and they'll like get it pretty quickly. But like for me, it was a while.
Well, in your defense, you didn't have a world champion teaching you how. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like a wake surf boat.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. Cool. So at 15, you fell in love with the sport. Yes. And then let's keep on your path. Like how old were you when you first started competing? When did you really realize that you were good? You know?
Right. Right. Yeah. So at the time, you know, I'm wake surfing a bunch. The only people I had really seen wake surf were, you know, my family, my brother, his friends, that's it. I would just try and do what he was doing, which was, once I started learning tricks, I would try to do airs and 360s.
So airs, is that when you like jump, essentially like jump off?
The- so that's when you're like starting at the back of the wave and you get speed towards the boat and you're taking off the top of the wave. So you are in the air.
Get air. Yeah.
Yeah. You get air.
Yeah.
And then 360 mm-hmm. turn all of it. Yeah. So, that's what I would try to do and would learn. And then, 1 year later when I was 16, my family was like, hey, here's this competition in Minnesota. Like we should go for fun and, you know, see how it goes. And at that time I'm like, okay, like I'll try it. I don't really know what to expect from my, like if I'm good or not good. Cause I have, you know, I haven't seen other surf really.
Sure.
And I, at this point in time, had not won anything in my life. So I'm like, you know, it'd be cool to just win a trophy, like just whatever place it is.
Yeah,
I don't care. Like it would just be cool to get something. And so we went, and I entered in
Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
That's a ways from Texas.
And this is also, let me, back then, you didn't have to qualify for the world championships because wake surfing was so small.
Yeah.
You could just show up to worlds.
Really?
That was what I showed up to, was the world championship.
It was the worlds? Your first comp was worlds?
It was. It was. But it, I was not in, I did not enter myself in the professional division. I entered myself in the amateur division.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just like, I don't know what to expect, but I'm going to the world championship.
Let's go. At 16.
At 16 years old. The other thing back then is like they had skim and surf division combined, which I'll give you like a little rundown on that.
Yeah, that's weird, right? Because those are two totally different things.
Totally different. So surfboard, you know, has large fins. Mm-hmm. You're doing a little bit more stuff like in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Inboard, really tiny fin or no fins. A lot more spin, technical tricks. So yeah, they're just, they're very different from mm-hmm. each other. You don't put them together.
Yeah.
But then, but back then, again, they had it together.
Yeah, it was both so brand new that they didn't really realize.
So
yeah.
I entered amateur women's division, you know, did my airs 360 in this competition, and everybody was freaking out because
like this girl ain't an amateur.
Yeah, they're like, wait, girl, like girls don't really do stuff in the air. Like, this is abnormal. Like,
what?
Who is this girl? What's happening? What, like, I, at that event, got recognized for, like, my aggressive style, my surf style I have. So, yeah, they were kind of just freaking out over all of that. So, they're like, you need to be in the professional division. And I'm like, wait,
yeah,
what?
You did.
I was like, I don't even know if I'm good at this.
Like, I just learned this.
Yeah. So, yeah, at that competition, they gave me an award for having like the most aggressive style. And they, after that, they were like, you need to go into the pro division. I got offered my first sponsor ever.
Right at that competition.
At that event.
How cool. Who was that? And
what?
Who was that?
It was a board company. I don't even think it's not even around anymore.
Wow. That's cool though. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that was how it all started getting into competing. After that, I went into the pro division at all the other competitions, into the circuit, picked up more sponsors along the way. And that's kind of how it all happened.
That's incredible. So you were basically 16 when you started competing professionally.
Yeah. Yes.
Essentially, after only a year of doing it with your family behind your boat in Texas, not even knowing if you were good or not. This is amazing. Exactly. I mean, wow. And how old are you now?
I'm 29.
So you've been competing for how many years now?
Oh, gosh. From 16 to 29.
So. Yeah, so about 13 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, simple math.
I'm like...
Whatever. We have other strengths.
13 years. Something like that. Like
yeah,
that.
Give or take. And so were did you like finish high school like normal back in Texas, or were you traveling too much, or like how much did this impact your life until your adulthood, you know?
Yes. So, going back to to school, middle school, high school, I was always like, felt like I was very different mm-hmm. and like didn't really belong in school. I was always kind of like, I just never really fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in my freshman year of high school. I had told my mom like, hey, I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there. And she was like, okay, well, you know, you're not dropping out. You're going to finish school. So I ended up homeschooling.
Nice.
And I graduated a year early because it was all that. Pace. And yeah. I was like, getting this done.
Yeah.
So I got done with it when I was 17.
Good for you.
Thanks. Yeah. I took and meanwhile, like as I'm homeschooling, my mom and I would drive to the lake. Like
that's it. So you were able to practice your craft.
I was able to wake surf, and I would leave all my schoolwork for like one day.
Yeah, I love it. You're learning time management at a young age. I mean, you're honing your skill. Was your mom driving you on the boat?
My mom was my boat driver.
Let's go. This is so cool. I love this so much.
She was my boat driver.
Wow. I mean, shout out to mom. I just driving a boat, period, let alone pulling someone very specifically. That's not easy.
Like, no, let's remember, I was like 16 years old. So at the time I'm like, mom, I didn't land this trick because you drove bad.
You know, hey,
she deserves a reward for
the classic mother-daughter relationship. Yes,
exactly.
So you had a lot of quality time with your mom. You became super self-sufficient at a very young age, obviously really leaned into your sport and educated yourself and graduated early. And then it was like you were into this full time, right?
I was full time competing, had, you know, a boat sponsor, board sponsor. I had all sponsorships. So I was, full-time competing, boat shows, all those types of things. I did get a scholarship for college and
for wake surf?
For academics.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't know that that existed, but
it would be cool if they had scholarships.
Did you end up going to college then?
I did. I only went for 3 months. Mm-hmm. But at the time, so I moved to Austin, went to college here, to like a little private university. I was taking classes full time and competing full time. Wow. And had moved to Austin at 18 years old on my own.
Wow.
So it was just a lot.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to make the decision like, hey, this is, you know, this is too much on my plate. I either am gonna compete part-time and put wake surfing aside and go all in with college, or I am gonna go all in with wake surfing, and they wouldn't let me take part-time college.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like an all or nothing thing. And
so essentially you bet on yourself.
I did. And it was the most terrifying decision I have probably to this day, like ever made. Because I was letting a scholarship go for college. Sure. And I'm like, oh man, like
a very conventional, acceptable, like socially normal path.
Right.
And most people at that time didn't even understand that wake surfing was indeed a sport and a serious one. You defied all cultural norms by choosing to do what you were passionate about instead of going with, you know, the norm.
Yeah. I don't think anyone made a living off wake surfing at that time, like at all.
Yeah.
So, it was a very, very crazy decision, but I knew like deep down, like that was all I wanted to do. And I think that like, once I set my mind to something, I am very determined and I'll put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
So, very, very grateful that I made that choice.
Same. But, I mean, so many people must be grateful, right? Were your parents supportive of that or a little nervous or both?
Well, it's pretty crazy because my mom was actually one of the people that was like, you know, you can always go back to school. Like, this is something that you're passionate about. You should go for it.
I love it.
I know. So yeah, she was very supportive.
She sounds amazing.
But yeah, it was a crazy decision, but it was amazing.
So at 18, you really bet on yourself, went all in, and you were committed at that point to making this your career, not just to continuing to compete.
Exactly. So I know sometimes I look back now, you know, 29 years old, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I did that.
You did it. You're doing it. I mean,
I did it.
And look at what you've done, and look at where you've taken the sport. You know, it's, I love this. This is why I wanted to start with your story, because it's never simple. It's never easy. Right. And that was another one of my questions is going to be, can you think of a time or a few times or just one that you want to share where you felt like the odds were against you or you made a tough decision or you had to sacrifice in order to pursue this? And
sure.
I mean, I'm sure there's many. Can you think of any others?
I've had to sacrifice so much. Like even when I was younger and I was wake surfing. You know, I was barely hanging out with friends. I didn't go to prom. I didn't like all the like traditional things that kids grow up doing. I kind of like honestly isolated myself into just riding and wake surfing. So that was, you know, growing up, that was a bit of a different like hard lifestyle to choose.
Sure.
And then when I was 18, of course, making the big choice to go all in with wake surfing. And nowadays, like I would say, you know, there's still times where, I always put wake surfing first when it comes to, you know, oh, do you want to go do this or that? And I'm like, no, I'm going to go ride.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, constantly kind of have those decisions.
Yeah. So you sacrifice a lot continually for what you love, but,
yeah.
And that excellence requires that. I really believe that in any capacity, right? It requires sacrifice and work and discipline over time, you know? I love that. I love that so much, Ash. I think it's just very inspiring, you know?
Thank you.
And it feels like, you know, there's in life, I think it's important to have, obviously we have to work to live, like, you know, people need to make a living. And then I also feel like it's very important for all humans to have a passion, something that fuels them, inspires them. And that could be a hobby. It could be a cause that you contribute time to that you feel passionate about, a service of some sort. And then for some really lucky people, your passion and your career are one and the same. And I certainly feel that way with what I do. And it sounds like it's the same with you, that really your passion is your profession. And that's such a special, unique thing, I think.
It really is. I'm so grateful for it to be like that. I totally agree, like with having that passion no matter what, and like having something that fulfills you. And yeah, I'm very, very grateful that my career and my career is my passion. So
it's
a rare thing. And I love that I was able to make that happen.
I mean, you can feel it. And I feel like you're so young, you know, I mean, so with the sport, it kind of started essentially the timeline of the sport being taken more seriously and growing in popularity really came up with you. Like the timelines are the same, right? Because when you started, it was brand new. And now it is pretty damn massive. And I want to hear like continuing your journey. And then I have some other, you know, different nuanced questions. But like, at what point do you remember? Obviously, you remember. Like, what point did you get your first wake surf boat? Like, tell us how the tech changes and how that affected you and your career and how exciting that would have been for you in this sport to have a boat that's built for that sport, right? And just walk us through, when did you feel like, I mean, I'm sure that first competition to your latest world competition, it was ran quite differently. There's quite a bit of, you know, like, talk to us about the growth and the changes and like continuing along your journey, how things have grown.
Yeah, it is seriously so crazy to think back on how the boats and boards and everything used to be compared to now. It is just like night and day difference. Like, it is very, very crazy. I mean, it's been I would say like progression over all the years of the boats, but I would say, I think it was like maybe around 2012, 2013 when boats were like, went from, you know, we're still like messing with everything on these boats to try to make a wave to like, whoa, okay, we have a full on wave behind our boat. And, even from then to now, the boats have progressed tremendously. And I cannot imagine, you know, 5 years from now, what they're going to be like. Like, so it cool. is just nonstop progression with these things. And, so cool. you know, way back when I started wake surfing, I didn't know the sport was going to get this big.
Sure.
And it's been so cool to see that, like, everybody's wake surfing nowadays. Like, everyone knows what it is. I used to talk to people about it and they're like, what is that? Like, what are you talking about? you know, and now I can just openly be like, oh yeah, wake surfing. And people like know what it is.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's the most popular thing being done on a lake, any lake that I've been on this.
Oh, for sure. Everyone's wake surfing. So it's been really cool to be a part of that progression and, you know, to have seen where it started, even as far as like the tricks go to what we used to be trying to do back, you know, back then to like what little kids are like doing now. They're starting off with like these insane boats and boards and like all the gear and the videos and all the resources. Mm. And they are just like mind blowing. Honestly, I'm like, wow. I remember when I was trying that trick, you know.
It's different. It's just like you said, you are essentially like, I go to the ski museums in Utah and I look at like the literal wooden skis that they would go down the mountain on. I'm like, how did they even ski at all? And you really started with the OG equipment, like the very basic, we knew nothing. You pioneered this for those next generations. And most importantly, I think it's just so incredible that for women in particular, I'll never forget when you just said, women don't do tricks. Back when you rocked up to that first competition, they're like, wait, what is this girl even trying to do? You redefined what that means for women in the sport. And like, absolutely we can, you know, and we do and we will. And look at
totally. And I think that's...
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think that that has been one of the driving factors for me to learn most of the tricks I've learned because... You know, women were only doing 360s and like surface tricks. And for me, I was like, well, I can do all these other tricks like that haven't been done yet by women. And I was like, we can do that.
Absolutely.
And that pushed me into learning like, okay, women don't do tricks in the air. Like I was told that so many times. That I was like,
oh, weird.
Oh, you know, like,
yeah, yes, we can. And I'll show you. We will. Yeah.
And now, like, my air reverse, which is one of like my signature tricks.
So I wanted to ask you about the air reverse. First, describe what that means. You guys, it's actually insane. It's unhinged. So, okay, tell us what it is first. Yeah.
This one's a little hard to explain, but basically, you get your speed. You go off the top of the wave and the tail of the board, which is the back of the board, you're taking off the wave and that is going like pretty high up in the air and you're getting kind of like up and down vertical and then you land it and continue the rotation around.
Wow.
That's by far my favorite trick ever. But looking at these tricks that, you know, all the women now are doing in the air, and
let's go.
I was told, girl,
were you the first woman to compete the air reverse?
I was. Yeah.
You say that like it's a footnote, like it's no big deal.
No big deal. But yeah, there's a handful of tricks. Definitely I was.
That you pioneered.
Girl.
Let's hear them. Let it be known. The air reverse.
Air reverse, air 180, big spin, shove, front shove, three shove. Blind body varial.
I would highly recommend people YouTube searching these because it's actually incredible what she's talking about. And you're telling me that you were the first woman to compete all of those tricks.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was the first woman to ever, land any of those. And it's cool to see now that like a lot of the other women have learned them and like it's just pushing the sport so much more because there's still so many tricks that I'm like, I want to be the first to get that.
Yes.
And I think like, you know, we're all pushing each other now to be the first woman to land certain things. And I think it's such a cool thing to see from, like I said, from being told to that women just don't do those certain tricks to now we're like, hey, we're all doing these.
But it took one person to, everything is impossible until it's not, right? And you were the one that didn't listen to that. And you're like, no, we can, and I will, and you did. And then that gave every other woman behind you or next to you permission that she could do it too. And also the courage to try and the motivation to be like, well, so you are,
oh, Oh, it had like muted and now it's back.
Okay, weird. Can you still hear me good?
I can hear you. We're good.
Okay, I can hear you now too. But that was weird. I saw that too. But no, just it's incredible to me because you are competing against these women and also working with them towards furthering the sport and encouraging each other and truly empowering each other. And I wanted to ask that, like with the, in the sport and the spirit of competition, how, it sounds like it's pretty healthy. Like, do you guys, are you friendly with the other competitors? Are there any that you'd say you're friends with? What's it feel like in that world? You know, like how, is it pretty close-knit community of professionals at this point? Kind of like let us in on all of that.
Yeah, I would say it's very close-knit of professionals. Everybody's like very supportive. It's like it's a good supportive environment. I have been in it so long that I have seen people in and out of there like crazy.
Oh, I'm sure. So, yeah.
It's funny because, you know, it's all a lot of the professional athletes are all new from when, you know, I started to now. But I would say, yeah, we're all very close. There's a few of us that have been around for this whole thing. But overall, yeah, it's, I think that that's a really cool part about it is that we all kind of push each other.
I love it. I love it. So what is the age? Like at what age are you not in a junior division? Are you competing at your level?
So, with the professional level, it isn't based off of age.
Okay.
It's now based off of certain tricks that you can do.
Yeah.
Which back in the day would have been like a 360. And now like we have a whole list of like tricks that if you can complete those, you can be in the professional division. Very so cool. I compete against girls that are, you know, 10 years younger than me or a couple years younger than me. I would definitely say I'm probably one of like the older ones now.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it is all ages.
Yeah. I love that. And there's no limit, right? Because you only need to look to yourself to know, like, there's no, like in so many sports, it's like, oh, you should be retiring around this age or you're peaking around this age. It's like, no, you are setting the standard, you know?
Yes, I always get asked that question. Oh, when do you retire?
How annoying.
And my answer is always when I feel like it.
Amen. I mean, yes, exactly. So, so cool. So you have 7 world titles.
I do. Yes.
Damn. And the first one, you were 16. That was your first competition at Worlds. Yes,
first competition in the amateur division. My first pro world title was, I think I was 20 years old. Mm. 20.
I love it.
That was like my big goal from the time, you know, I started competing heavily. I was like, I want to win one world title. And
I mean, yeah. So yeah. It took you 5 years of pretty much full-time work, dropping out of school, finished, like obviously not dropping out, you finished, but really prioritizing this, working so hard for 5 years and you got that first world title. How did that feel?
Like the most rewarding thing. I had been working for it for, you know, I say so long, but like, I guess so hard. I had been working so hard because it really wasn't so long.
But I mean, essentially, if you're looking from 15 to 20, that's a quarter of your life. That's half of your really like memorable life, right? I mean, that is so long, especially to a 20-year-old.
Exactly. So it was so rewarding. I remember just like the feeling of that first title and that it had been like all the hard work, all the sacrifice, everything. It was like, okay, it's paying off right here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So cool. Okay. So your most recent title was just last summer.
Yes.
And I am so bummed. I thought I was going to be able to make it to watch and I didn't get to watch it in person, but I want to ask, looking at all, you know, okay, first of all, you have 7 world titles, but you're also US champion 10 times, right? Is that number still accurate?
Yeah.
So what's the difference? Tell everyone what's the difference between like a world title and the US championships? Because those are the two biggest competitions, correct?
Yeah, those are the biggest ones. They're put on by different organizations, which can get a little confusing. The USA Nationals is usually somewhere in the US, like obviously, but that one is, you know, it's usually less competitors than the World Championships. You have to nowadays get you have to qualify for World. And that one definitely has people from all different countries, all different so it's you know, it has quite a bit of pressure on that one.
Yeah. Where is it held this coming year? Or is it held every year? Or is it every other year? Like, kind of tell us how this works.
So Worlds is every single year, usually the end of September or beginning of October. They typically will pick a different location each year. That for this coming year, it hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
Wake surfing is still small in that aspect. Sure. I would say with the competitive side on like when things are released, where they are, it's still a little unorganized.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not sure of this year's yet, but last year was in Utah.
And yeah, which is so random. I could not believe that. I'm like, they're not putting you in somewhere warm and tropical. I mean, y'all, it was cold. When you told me, like, I compete tomorrow, I'm like, are you kidding? It's like freezing, windy.
That was honestly, like, each title and each world has its own, like, meaning behind it to me. And honestly, this last one was one of my hardest, most difficult titles.
Yeah, tell us, walk us through that.
Yeah, I remember calling you because I'm like, this is insane weather. Like, they had to keep stopping the event because there was hail and rain and lightning and thunderstorms. And it was 20 degrees in the morning, 30 degrees. Like, it was cold.
That is negative degrees in Celsius for all of my Aussie and like European listeners. That's crazy to be in the water.
So cold. Like, I wanted to be snowboarding.
Yes. Yeah. That's the temps that you would snowboard in. I mean, this is crazy, crazy.
Yeah. So that was definitely when I get cold or when I get put in cold water, I tense up, I'm freezing, I want out. Some of the other riders are fine with cold, but I am not that person. I am like, if it's a little chilly,
you're out, a Texas baby.
Yes.
Cold to you is like 50, 60.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I think, the mindset for that one was a big part of it. Just, getting all the elements out of my mind and trying, you know, not to focus on those. That was a big, big mind game.
Huge.
Yes.
Physical and mental, because you're physically.
Yeah. I'm physically
in a state that you're not used to performing these tricks in.
Oh yeah. I was like full on like workout right before I rode. I was so made myself sweat before I got in the water.
Incredible. Incredible. And that kind of leads me into, I really wanted to talk to you about, obviously you work so hard. So before you compete, you have to qualify for Worlds. Would the US championship be a qualifier for Worlds?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So before a big competition, do you have like a regimen, a schedule that you do? How long are you doing this for? Are you kind of trained or are you on a level where you're training at the same level all the time? Or is it like a month before a huge competition, you dial it in differently? Like, kind of describe to us how you prepare for these, especially like the Worlds, like the biggest, your biggest stage. How are you preparing in your schedule? Like, what's your regimen? What kind of work are you putting in physically, mentally, emotionally? And then also, I would love to hear if you have any rituals or grounding practices, or like, how do you get in the zone the morning you wake up that day, when you get on your boat, when you get in the water? Like, walk us through mentally and emotionally, what are you doing to fortify yourself to be able to compete at these levels?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say each year, like I said, has been so different. And I feel like of all these years competing, I finally feel like I learned so much more about myself now with what works, what doesn't work for me, what works better. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, this past year really showed me that. And I spent a lot of time with a sports psychologist. And, you know, I learned a lot of breathing techniques, a lot of visual techniques, which are huge because I don't care how many competitions I've done. I get nervous every single time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
I think, you know, being able to visualize and being able to completely get in the zone before I compete is so big, and it's so hard to do. It's like draining mentally to get to that point. But when you do get there, it's like the best feeling in the entire world. But I for me to get to that, like that in the zone mindset, a lot of it is focusing on what's around me, like nature wise. That's what really helps me.
Wow. I love that. Even though you're in different backdrops to what you're used to.
Yes.
Sure, you can always, you're always essentially being able to ground yourself in whatever nature you're in.
Exactly. And I think that that's, for me, that is the biggest way to calm me. That is the biggest way to ground me and keep me present, and to know like what's meant to happen is going to happen.
Wow. That's beautiful. So how would you do that? You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I ground myself in nature, but like, yeah. Can you describe to the listeners like what that really looks like for you?
Yeah. You know, for me, water is such a big part of me. So sometimes I'll go stand. Did the volume go out?
It might've dropped out. I think we're still back. It still says recording. So I think we're good. So sorry, start again. For you to ground yourself.
Yes. To ground myself, the water, is such a big part of my life, and it's such a calming thing to me. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll just go stand like in the shore of the water and like really focus on feeling the water on my skin. Mm-hmm. Or, like even like just closing my eyes and staring, like putting my head up towards the sun, like just feeling that and feeling, like at this last Worlds, there was sand there, like feeling my feet in the sand. I think it's just like focusing on every little feeling of the nature that's around me and like really diving deep into that feeling.
Yeah. So essentially you're bringing yourself into the present moment.
Yes.
Through nature, through all of your sensations.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. So much positive psychology behind that, behind visualization, which you mentioned, behind all of these things. Did you say you do some breath work?
I do. Yeah, I'll do. I'm very big into yoga. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, you asked like what I like to do leading up to Worlds.
Yes.
Yoga pretty much every day.
Beautiful.
Because I know my body not only feels amazing doing yoga, but
recovery from all of your strength training, which is essentially what being behind the boat is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, a lot of breath work that I've kind of learned through yoga classes or, even like I'll look for like online meditations, like anything. And, I think, you know, your breath can just change your entire mood, your like anything going on, really.
Absolutely. I've found the same thing in my world as well. I just think it's so cool how no matter what you have to do, right? Because obviously no one else listening is probably ever going to win the world champion at wake surfing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this inspires someone to pick it up, right? Who knows? Yes. But ultimately, such a huge takeaway from everything you've shared for me, even personally, is just you, first of all, have to bet on yourself.
Yes.
You following what you're passionate about and not just saying, oh, I enjoy this, but recognizing that success and excelling in whatever you are passionate about takes a shit ton of hard work.
Oh, yeah.
And success never comes overnight. You know, you win Worlds on one day, but what did it take to get to that day? You know, and hearing your story is just so incredibly inspiring to me. And then also, no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what vocation you're in, or whether maybe it's external things that have nothing to do with your job or your hobbies. But if you're going through it or you're feeling nervous or anxious, you can always center yourself. We are always, you know, able to have control of our breath, and that can bring us to the present moment. And so many of the things that you do are similar to things that I do to ground myself for totally different things and totally different reasons. But I think these are universal things. And a last takeaway of something that I just think is so cool is how you are really the epitome of empowered woman empowering other women. You are a pioneer in your field. You are redefining what women can do, and also turning around and helping those around you and encouraging those around you. And I always, like, I will die on this hill. There's room for everyone at the top. Even in a professional sport where there is one winner, it doesn't serve you to be catty or jealous or conniving. Like, you have this beautiful energy. You're generous with your time and your strengths, and you admit that you are inspiring the next generations, and you cheer for them, and you're amazed to see them. And that is the energy of a true champion, you know? And I just think that, I don't know, I'm like so inspired by you. So I'm just so grateful for everything that you've shared. And I just feel like there's so many takeaways, but those were mine. Girl, is there anything? I had a list of questions. I didn't even look at it because I just, you know, more kept coming to my mind. But I want to also say, for those listening who are interested in this sport, or maybe you're listening because you're already such a huge fan of Ash, I think it's important to know that you do teach. You teach lessons.
I do.
Which is so cool. Yeah. So talk to us, like, how could someone listening potentially hire you? Where would they go to do that? Like, what is your teaching schedule like?
Yeah. My teaching schedule, I make my own schedule, you know, in between competing, photo shoots, all that
stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yes, you can just book online on my website. It's just ashleykidd.com. And, I enjoy teaching because it's my way of giving other people my knowledge, which is, I think,
so valuable. I mean, beyond, it's like if you are a basketball player and you got to learn from Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, like, it's crazy. We will link your website in the show notes. So anyone listening, if you're interested in looking at her lessons or availability for teaching, you can find that link right here in the show notes, wherever you're listening to this. And then Ash, is there anything, first of all, I will be also scheduling some lessons this year. This is my year.
We have to make that happen.
I'm finally going to do it because, girl, I can't throw in the rope. I only last, like, I think my max without the rope is like 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Like, I don't know what it is.
So far, we're going to get you there.
We're going to get me there. I cannot wait. And in fact, I'll commit now. When we do, because we will, when we are going to finally learn, well, me, when I'm going to finally learn under your expert tutelage, I'm going to vlog it. I want to share. I'm fine to be embarrassing myself all over the place. I've already shown my videos of where I'm starting, but I will bring you guys on the journey. So for anyone listening, and then before we wrap up, like, is there anything else you want to cover that we didn't, or more importantly, like, is there any last advice or encouragement that you could give to kind of, now I'm going to split this into two things, advice or encouragement for any hopeful wake surfers, for anyone wanting to get into your world, what would you tell them? And then the second piece is any advice or encouragement for just women in general?
Yeah, I would say a big piece of advice is to just go for things, to not be afraid of falling or failing, or, with wake surfing, especially like trying new tricks. I think it's kind of like, don't be afraid to fall. You know, I have people sometimes when I'm teaching, they apologize for falling so much. And I'm like, don't apologize. Like, this means you are doing what you're supposed to do. I fall all the time because I'm constantly trying new tricks. So I would just say a big piece of my advice for getting into what I do is just go for it. Go for everything.
Don't be afraid to fall or fail. I think that's life advice for everyone right there.
Yes. Yeah. That's a big part about it. And then what was your second question?
Just advice for anyone, women in general, specifically, you know, just encouragement or a mantra that has really like helped you or carried you, or just any like words of encouragement, advice.
I would just say, like, again, like kind of going back to, you know, when I was told you can't really do something, just follow your instincts and your gut and believe in yourself, because if you feel strongly about something, it's so possible if you have like the motivation and determination to make things happen.
I mean, that's a mic drop right there. I love it. I love it so much. Well, Ash, thank you from the bottom of my heart for your time today. I adore you even more so now. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. I feel so uplifted and empowered, and I know that this episode is going to resonate with everyone who listens. So thank you. Cannot thank you enough.
Thank you for getting me on here. It's been so fun talking.
Of course. And thanks to everyone for listening. Again, find all of Ashley's information where you can follow her on socials and her website in the link of these show notes. And we will see you next time. Thanks, you guys.